Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 164 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Lynn Trask. Lynn lives in Missouri, where she is a court stenographer for the state of Missouri. Welcome, Lynn.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I am fabulous. Great to talk to you today.
You also.
So, you know, I like to start by asking, and this is going to be no different, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Okay, so I actually started intermittent fasting in April of 2019. In October of 2018, I had quit smoking, and that's the only time I'm going to say that during this podcast because I'm proud of myself for doing it, but at the same time, such an awfully embarrassing habit that I had for all those years.
Oh, you know what, though? I don't want you to be embarrassed because it's one of those things that happens.
Right.
And you just, you know,
right.
We all have our things.
Well, I went cold turkey with that. And so I kicked that habit. And then by spring, of course, had gained 7 pounds or so. We have a beautiful granddaughter. She's my step granddaughter. I don't have children of my own, but when I married John, he had kids, and together his two children have given us 5 grandchildren. So our oldest is the only girl. So in April of 2019, she was getting ready for prom, and we had helped her buy her dress and everything. And she had told me that she was fasting to lose weight. And of course, the grandma in me said, oh, no, you're too young for that. No, you can't do that. Even though she was almost 18, she was about a month away from being 18. So when she told me that, she said, oh, grandma, but it's working. And so I had remembered that an acquaintance on Facebook had posted, I think in summer of 18, that she was trying it. Now, I'm positive that she was not a clean faster. I just think I remember her saying, yes, you can have this to drink or this to drink. So anyway, I then started Googling and ran across your book and downloaded it immediately and curled up in our swing out on the back porch. It was a nice day, April 27 of 2019, and I devoured your book in an afternoon, and the science just clicked. That whole,
oh, I'm glad.
Yeah, the whole insulin reaction, it just made so much sense. And so I started, my husband had quit a diet soda habit in, I think, February of 19. So he was off the diet soda. Neither one of us were coffee drinkers. Diet soda was our caffeine in the morning. And so I told myself, well, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to quit the diet soda. And I did. So that very evening, we ate our evening meal and I dove right in and made it, I think, 20 hours until the next day and haven't stopped since.
That's amazing. So when you say y'all ate your evening meal, did your husband start fasting with you that day as well, or just...
He did not that day, no. He started in October then of 19. He's type 2 diabetic,
okay.
And when he quit diet soda in February of 19, he immediately lost 20 pounds. And he's 6'4", I'm 5'4", so he's, you know, kind of a big, tall guy anyway, and at that time was probably 230. And his doctor kept telling him, if you lose 20% of your weight, you can probably reverse your diabetes. So when we looked at that, that was like he needed to get down to 180 pounds, and we just couldn't see that happening. So anyway, I fasted then, till maybe June or July, just drinking. I would just wake up and drink water. And then one day I thought, you know, let's try some coffee. I had this little 4-cup pot that I kept here for my mom for when she would come to town, and I broke it out and got out the coffee and thought, you know, I can do coffee. So now I'm addicted to coffee and
Yay!
Water. That's all I ever drink, or just black coffee or water.
Yeah, it makes a difference. I enjoy the ritual of having the black coffee in the morning. Just today, funny story, my son came over, the one that's 21, and he had a girl with them, a date. it was like, I don't know, 11, something like that. He had laundry for me to do. So he brought her over. And I was like, would y'all like some coffee? I can brew a pot. She's like, yes, I need cream and sugar. He said, we drink it black.
Good for him.
But I do have heavy cream in my,
right,
in my fridge. So she was allowed to have whatever she wanted.
Yes, yes.
But it was just funny to hear him say that to her.
Right.
He just started drinking it black from day one.
Yeah. Good for him. Yeah, it's wonderful.
It really is. So now you're a coffee drinker. But yeah, I understand the diet soda instead of coffee, because that was always what I did too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't start drinking coffee till in my, gosh, late 30s.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. And I've never had the coffee with the creamer and stuff. I refuse to let myself drink that because I don't want it to taste good. I don't want to think, oh, there's something better besides black coffee.
A hot milkshake.
Right. I don't want to go there. So. So I haven't.
I get it. So your first day, going back to that April 27th, I love how you have that date, April 27th of 2019, you did a 20-hour fast.
Yes.
The first time.
Yes. It was amazing.
You remember it wasn't hard at all?
I mean, yes, it was. I think it's more a mental thing. And I've heard people say that it just is a mental thing. Since then, John and I have both done extended fast, and you get to that, you know, that dinner time and you think, oh man, I know I should be eating, but I'm really not that hungry. So once you get past that, you're okay. One thing I did do in the beginning, probably the first 3 months, is somewhere on Facebook, one of your groups, somebody was talking about the pink Himalaya salt. And so I
Right.
would keep a little container of that. And back then, I didn't start working for the state of Missouri until October of 19. Prior to that, I've always been a court reporter, but I would just take depositions. I was an independent contractor. So I would never knew where I was going to be any given day. And so I would just keep the salt. And, you know, if I had afternoon depositions, I wouldn't, you know, start to feel hungry. I would just put a little salt on my tongue and just push right through it. The afternoon energy is just remarkable. And that's one thing I noticed really, truly from the beginning, is if I had a 2 or 3 o'clock deposition, I wasn't nodding off from that big lunch I just had because I didn't have a big lunch anymore.
So. I can imagine how hard that would be to sit there
Yes.
after a big lunch and have to be attentive. I mean, you've got to be like super, you can't just fake attentiveness, like pretend like you're listening.
Right.
You got to be listening like nobody else.
Right. Well, and back then I was doing a lot of family law Oh, okay. My gosh. Yeah, there's nothing more boring than people
all the details.
About.
Yeah. Oh, Lordy.
Yeah. Yep.
I can only imagine. So no. when you were adjusting, did you just made it through that adjustment phase easily?
Very easily. I will say very easily. And I tell people that I try to recruit new people and they just look at me like I'm crazy. Well, I could never go 20 or 22 hours without eating. Yes, you could. You can. And now every once in a while, well, so then John started fasting, I think, in October. But between April and October, because he's type 2 diabetic, I would say, oh, well, you need to eat your breakfast, because if not, you're just going to fall out, you know, and not make it through the day. And so I would always make his breakfast for him and, you know, never taste anything. It was no big deal to me. He would go off to work. And then the more I followed your Facebook group, listening to Jason Fung, just knew that him being diabetic, he could easily fast, and started kind of talking it up to him. And then he got on board. And I will say he hasn't had an A1C, but right now at this moment, he is not taking any diabetic medicine at all.
Wow.
So he gets another A1C in July or so, and hopefully he stays on trend to stay off of his meds.
That is huge.
It is.
You know, thank goodness for Jason Fung and all of the attention that he's given to the fact that type 2 diabetes is not something that we are destined to have. I mean, I'm sure I was on my way to that. My dad has type 2 diabetes, and I had the abdominal obesity. I know that's where I was going to be. And you think it's chronic, it's progressive, it's going to get worse. You're going to have all of these problems. You will never get better. It just doesn't do that.
Yes.
You're just going to need more and more meds.
Yeah.
And that's not what's happened.
No.
He wasn't at the taking insulin stage yet, or was he?
No, he wasn't. He never was on insulin. He would do like a metformin in the beginning, and then right. He was able to get off of that and do something a lot more mild. The last drug he was on was just a once a week injection, like I think it's called Trulicity. So he no longer does the once a week injection. He got off of the daily pill, oh gosh, probably November or so, December. And now he's off of the once a week injection.
That's amazing. What does his doctor say?
His endocrinologist was okay with the fasting. Because of COVID, we haven't been back to that doctor. He started seeing a new nurse practitioner, and she is just on board with the fasting and totally agrees that if his A1C looks okay in July, that he has reversed it.
That's amazing.
He can stay off the meds, yeah.
You know, because you hear there's a train of thought that, no, you're not reversing it. It's not reversible. But when all your levels are normal,
right.
I mean.
Yes, it's reversed, yeah.
Sounds like it.
Right.
I'm glad that she's using that terminology.
Yes.
That's important terminology to hear.
Yes, I agree.
So is she familiar with it in general, like recommending it to other patients, or she's just based on his experience?
Well, I saw her first.
Okay.
Like last year. I guess I had been fasting about a year whenever I saw her, and she was on board with it. She's okay with the fasting. I don't know that she does it herself. I don't think she recommends it, but she had heard of it and had read up on it.
She doesn't like not recommend it. She just doesn't like do it as and endorse it as from her own personal, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So that's fantastic. So how did the weight loss start off for you? Like when you started, you said you're 5'4".
Yes. So back in, I guess all of my life, I've preteen, I was always a little chubby, like 7, 8, 9 years old. I remember being chubby. Then in my teenage years, I was fortunate enough. My parents bought some property and I was able to have a horse, my lifelong dream. And so as a horse girl, I kind of probably was a size 10 or 12, you know, in my 13, 14, 15 year old years. Never got larger than a size 14. When John and I got married in 2005, I was a size 10. Then we get comfortable with each other, and then I become a size 14, I guess, and refuse to buy a 16. I'm sure if I would have just said, hey, girl, you know you really need a 16, I would have been more comfortable in them. And so this is about 2008, and one of my besties, Dawn, she said, hey, do you want to do Weight Watchers with me? And so we did, and we both had huge success. I was 42 and excited about it, and within 6 months, I had lost 42 pounds and I was down to like 142 pounds. Now, at that 142 pounds, I was still a size 8 or 10. I've gotten down to 142 with fasting, and because of the body recomposition, I can wear a size 4 or a 6.
That's amazing.
It just truly is phenomenal.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great-tasting, high-quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
And I want to say it's not just because of vanity sizing and sizes changing.
No.
You know, I don't know what my weight number is now, but I have some clothes from the past prior to intermittent fasting when I was around 128 to 129 back in maybe 2003 or something like that. I have some jeans from the Gap. They're size 6 Gap jeans from 2003 or 2 or whatever, whenever I bought them. And the way that those fit me now, you know, like I'm smaller than I was when those jeans fit me. So you're comparing your body is actually smaller.
Right.
Yep. That's yes. Exciting. Because we really do. We preferentially burn fat.
Yep. And so since when COVID hit then, John and I both kept working. I mean, our court system slowed down a little bit, obviously, but I kept working. But just the stress of it all, you know, and I think just that whole, what America was going through as a whole, I put weight on. So I think I went from probably 142 up to 152, 155. I've hopped on. I don't get on the scale every day by any means, maybe every 3 months or so. I can just tell by the way my clothes are fitting. I'm starting to trend back down and I'm okay with that. That's the beautiful thing about fasting. I will never not be a faster.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, do you think the weight gain, we heard a lot about weight gain over coronavirus, which we had not heard about with intermittent fasting within the communities. People rarely regained a lot of weight. Then all of a sudden, it was so many factors. We were, a lot of us, eating more.
Right.
We were not moving around as much.
Yes.
Yeah, we were stressed out. Stress plays a role. What do you think it was for you? Like, I know I was doing more baking and more drinking. I know I was 100% baking, drinking, even. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. I think the stress and then just also not getting together socially. I mean, you just think, oh, well, I'm going to sit home with the husband again. So, wow, let's eat.
Try a new recipe.
Cream, right?
Yeah.
So ice cream. I'm a big fan of ice cream. So I think that's my problem.
Yeah. Most of us can look back and pinpoint, you know, what it was for us. But the stress, you know, do not discount the effect of stress.
Yes.
And really the stress leads us to eat more.
Right. And I think, yeah, I'm going to call it stress for sure. I mean, there were a couple weeks in a row where we just wouldn't have court, just especially in the very beginning. And then my judge kind of forward thinking and, well, we've got to get these cases moving. We do a lot of criminal cases. And so we then, it wasn't long and we were back to almost our full-time schedule, which was good because in that I'm used to working from home. You know, when I took depositions, I would take them at an attorney's office and then come home and produce the transcript. I can, where I'm sitting at right now is where I work from my desk and my refrigerator is literally 3 feet away in my kitchen. So I've been able to be self-disciplined and stay out of the refrigerator when need be. So,
yeah, you know, fasting helps with that really more than anything else.
It does.
I can remember back, you know, prior to fasting, I was always thinking about if it was appropriate to have something else to eat.
Right.
Is it time to have something else to eat? Could I? Should I? Is it good? Is it bad?
Yes.
But now I'm like, nope, window closed. You know, like today we're recording. We started at 3 my time. And so I just knew I wasn't going to eat.
Right.
And I'll eat after we're done. And it hasn't even crossed my mind that I would like to go wander to the kitchen.
Right. See, yeah, same way with me. It's started 2 o'clock my time and I haven't eaten yet today.
Yep.
Every once in a while, if we're doing a little road trip, we, you know, might talk ourselves into eating breakfast. But oh my gosh, it just sets us up to eat all day the rest of the day. And, you know, we know that's not what we want. So we have breakfast for dinner quite a bit. So.
We did that last week one day. There was something with our meal delivery that day. I can't remember what it was. It became a day late and I'm like, we got nothing.
Right.
And Chad said, let's have breakfast for dinner. And I'm like, you got it.
Yep, that's easy.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
So tell me about what your schedule looks like and also what John's schedule looked like and how synced those might be.
Well, we are right on schedule with each other. He gets off work at 3 o'clock usually and is home by 3:15, 3:30. He works close to home. Days that my judge is not on the bench, she allows me to office from home. Some days I have transcripts to work on and it keeps me busy at home. Other days I'm caught up on my transcripts. So when I'm at home, I try to wait until, you know, at least 2 o'clock before I might get some chips and salsa or some grapes or something like that as a snack. And then we always eat dinner by 5:30 or 6. Sometimes when John gets home, he'll eat. Other times he won't, you know, have a snack. But then, like I said, we have our dinner by 5:30, 6 o'clock. And then we might have ice cream around 7. But then I close my window and I'm done until the next day and just find it effortless.
Your window sounds a lot like mine, the way that you structured it. It feels like such a doable lifestyle, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Every once in a while with work, we go to lunch and, you know, I don't think twice about it. I don't want to make it a habit every time I'm, you know, at court. But every once in a while, the girls will say, hey, let's go to lunch. And I don't blink an eye and we just go to lunch and I'll come home and still have dinner. I might not eat as much as I normally would, but, you know, it doesn't bother me. It's no big deal. So that's the beautiful thing about it. Yeah, the beautiful thing about it. You can just adjust on the fly.
When I was working out of the home, now I still work, but work very hard in the home, but on my own schedule with whatever I want to do. But when I went to work in the school system, it was the same thing. If it were a day where a special lunch was brought in, I would first judge it to decide if it was window worthy. Sometimes the answer was no.
Yes.
And I wouldn't even think twice about not eating it. But if it was something window worthy or if it was a day when we could leave campus and go out to a restaurant, you better believe I was there with them.
Absolutely.
And I didn't always eat, especially when I was in the losing weight period of my journey. When I wanted to lose weight, it was a lot easier to say, no, I'm not going to eat this lunch right now. But at maintenance, I usually said, okay.
Yeah, well, I think back to prior to fasting when I would take depositions and I think, okay, well, I've got a 9 o'clock deposition and it's supposed to go 2.5 hours. So maybe by 11:30, I'll be done. But gosh, now I don't have another one until 2. What can I do? Oh, I'm going to go to lunch. Gee, you're going to be in this area. Where can you go to lunch? You know, and I would just pick the best place and go eat that lunch and have my, you know, my Kindle and, you know, would read a book and just be happy because I got lunch out. And now, I would never, ever, ever think I'm going to just go eat lunch by myself.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right. You don't need it.
Isn't it funny? Because I could just imagine me doing the exact same thing. And there was also something about a restaurant meal that was just going to be like so amazing.
Oh,
and now it's so often a letdown.
So much so. Yeah.
So how would you describe your eating style?
Well, we've always eaten fairly healthy. I mean, I think I got that from doing Weight Watchers for so long. I mean, I love a great fresh salad and we buy beef and pork from people we know. So our freezer is always stocked. We buy like a half a, you know, slab of cow or whatever, and then a whole hog. So we always have beef and pork in our freezer. And then I'll just go and buy chicken, you know, from the store. So John is kind of a meat and potato type of guy. So we always have potatoes. Every once in a while I'll make pasta.
Yeah. So you enjoy cooking.
I do. Oh, very much so. We seldom go out to eat, hardly ever. Yeah, that's a rare occasion. And, you know, during COVID, when things were so you couldn't eat in the restaurant, we're in Missouri, we've always kind of been open, I guess, through it. But a lot of restaurants were doing the carry out. And, you know, by the time you get like the fried zucchini sticks home or the calamari home, it's just soggy and nasty. And
it wasn't good.
You know, wasn't good. A waste of money, waste of calories, just a waste of everything. So
I do remember early in the pandemic, the meal delivery company I was using at that time, I'm no longer using them now, but they were like, sorry, we can't get any food. You're not getting anything.
What?
Like, okay. So we were trying to do that carry out as well. And we were like, we ordered from a place I used to really like. They had this family order, whatever. I'm like, let's get it. It was like a burger and fries. Right, right. And I always love a burger and fries. But you're right. By the time it got here, or by the time Chad went and picked it up and brought it back, I was like, no,
right.
I don't think he ate it at all. I think he refused any of it. He was like, I'm not eating this.
Right.
It was not window worthy. I think I like ate it in sadness. But
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. Not good.
Thank goodness the supply chain is back up and running.
Right.
I never want to go through that again.
No, me either.
So you haven't found that your tastes in food have changed at all?
No, not really. Well, I did buy, can I say Lay's potato chips on?
You
on
can
here?
Say yeah. Lay's potato chips.
I bought a bag of plain Lay's the other day at the store and thought, oh, well, these will be good. Well, they don't even taste right anymore. I think our taste buds just change. That whole processed food thing just isn't what it used to be.
That really is true.
Yeah.
And I think you start to taste like those oils and
right.
You're like, oh, I don't. And they just feel heavy in your mouth in a weird kind of a way.
Yeah.
I still like some chips, if you can find like some at a natural food store that are like fried in coconut oil.
Have
you ever had chips like those?
Yeah.
Try them.
Okay.
They have a whole different kind of flavor.
Yeah. Well, I remember too, you know, when I was doing Weight Watchers, well, even over the years after, I guess I maintained that weight from the summer of 2008 until, probably early, late spring, I guess, of 2009. And then I started, you know, putting the weight back on, even though I was still a Weight Watchers member. And then I eventually quit going to the meetings and, you know, started putting the weight back on. So then over the years, from 2009 or so up until 2019, I would join Weight Watchers again and try to get excited. Okay, let's go to meetings. Let's, you know, count the points. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's go, you know, get the food. Let's get the cookbook and then buy every ingredient that you need to make these. Go get the ingredients, bring them home. Never make anything. I would, you know, I don't know. I just would never use the ingredients and never follow those diets, as we call them. You know, if the cookbook says, oh, if you eat this, this, and this on this day, and then eat these three meals on the next day, and then by the end of the week, you're going to lose 8 pounds. So I could never get excited about Weight Watchers again after that initial time. And I wish I had all the money back that I threw at them every month to maintain my membership. But, you know, I think back to their 1-point bars and just a waste of money. Yeah.
I still can't believe I never tried Weight Watchers.
I mean, know.
I've said it before.
Right.
Shocking.
I can't believe that either.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
Right.
Why didn't I? I'm just still like, why? Maybe because I didn't want to have to pay money. That's probably what it was.
Yeah, good for you for that.
I probably was like, no, I am not paying them money for that.
Right.
It maybe never like really came through my mind, but that's probably why, even though I didn't like ever think about it.
Yeah.
I was never one for like going to any kind of meeting. I was like, I can do this. I can do it. I was counting everything except Weight Watchers point.
Right. Oh, man. And
you
then
name
they
it,
would
I counted
change.
It.
Well, and I had all the formulas memorized from 2008. And then they would, you know, at the January of every year, they'd say, oh, now we're going to redesign. And so now this chicken is no longer 2 points. It's now 1 point. And so that just, you know, I could never wrap my head around it. Just would always get so frustrating for me. So, and then after that, I never, you know, my highest weight ever was 182. That's when I started Weight Watchers in 2008. And since then, I never got any higher than 168. I think that's where I was at when I started the IF in April of 2019. So I quickly lost that. I think by September or so, I was down to, from 168, I was down to about 145 or so, and then dropped a few more pounds after that. And then the pandemic hit like the following spring. And then I got back up to, like I said, I think 154 or something, but I'm trending back down now.
That's good. So have you made any changes to see the weight trending back down, or it just kind of has happened naturally?
It just kind of has happened naturally. I tell myself I'm going to do the alternate daily fasting, but I just can't get into it. I don't know why.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, you then. Right.
John and I will talk a big game. Oh, let's try this. We'll do it, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we'll get through Monday. And then, yeah.
You said you've done a couple of the longer fasts?
Yes, a couple, but never, they're always sporadic. It's never like two or three in a week. So it's
really, I mean, you know, even if you just want to say, you know what, I'm going to try to do one a week if you want to, only if it doesn't sound miserable. There's no need to feel like you need to do two or three or even one if you don't really, honestly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways you can tweak what you're eating in a way. Now, it's got to be delicious, right? You want to eat food that you enjoy, but
I'm sure if I put the chips and salsa down, I found some really, really, really good salsa from a couple of our local grocery stores around here. And so that's my downfall. I love crunchy things.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the crunchy things. And, you know, even those chips I mentioned a minute ago that are fried in coconut oil versus, you know, canola or whatever they fry, soybean, I don't know what Lay's are fried in. But even the you know, quote, better ones are still ultra processed foods.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a health food.
No, it's not.
Even if it's organic, it's not. But yeah, the crunchy things do tend to be my downfall. One thing I'm enjoying right now as far as crunchy things, I got some organic Triscuits. The thin ones that are like little triangles.
Uh-huh.
I'm really enjoying those.
Oh, where did you find those at?
I think we had a Bilo that all of a sudden one day became a Food Lion. Now it's a Food Lion. I didn't even know I was in there wandering around. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why does that say Food Lion? Because it had always been Bilo, like since 2005 and before then. And anyway, so they had the organic Triscuits. And so I got to have that crunch.
Right.
You know,
I'm with you on that.
Yep. I got to figure out a way to get it in. So I will never be, you know, have a perfect, quote, perfect way of eating. There's going to be some ultra-processed foods in my diet.
Right. A couple of my friends a couple years ago, they had joined somebody we know had opened this gym, and he was going to help just like strength train. And these women were doing it, and that's all fine and good. I've never been a gym rat. I'll never be a gym rat. But while they were doing this lifting, they were getting into keto. And so, you know, my friend Cindy would say, oh, you ought to, you know, the macro this and the macro that. I'm like, you lost me. I'm not interested in that. I mean, I know if I should cut back my carbs, I will, but to have to count all that again, just, I'm not into that.
It's not appealing.
No, it's not at all.
And not at our age, right?
Right. For sure.
We're similar age.
We are. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be 56 in about a week. So.
Okay. So you're a few years ahead.
Yeah.
Just a few.
Yeah.
Four and a half. Just a little over four. So not very many. But, you know, at our age or any age, really, you just get to the point where you're weary of the dieting and the counting and the trying.
Yeah. I just want to know when I wake up in the morning that, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And the money saving, I know it gets talked about on your Facebook groups, but the amount of money that we save, oh my gosh, it's unreal. Just not having to have the breakfast food and the lunch food and, you know, going to lunch every day. And so I love that part of it too. My mom is a registered nurse and I live in Missouri and she lives in Arizona, has been out there for 30 years or so now, but she's a retired nurse. And when I told her I was fasting, the only thing she said was, oh, honey, proceed with caution. So I guess then she did her own researching. And next thing I know, she said, so I'm looking into this fasting and I'm doing it and I love it. And so she really got into it and it does it for the most part every day now. So
I love it. How old is she?
She is 78. I hope I'm right.
That's
on that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yay, Mom.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And then I also said, then John's sister, her name is Beth, his stepsister, her name is Beth McCormick. And her husband, Mike, are good friends with Greg Collins, who has
the substitute teacher. That's funny.
So he did a podcast with you and I guess it was this podcast and you asked him. So,
and I've been on his too.
Right. So when you asked him, so how did you learn about intermittent fasting? He said my name. Well, so my friend Beth McCormick, her daughter or her sister-in-law, Lynn Trask. And so I told my husband, I said, oh my God, Jen Stevens just heard my name on the airwaves. He wasn't real impressed, but I was.
Funny.
So anyway, yeah, I just love how it just, the trickle effect, it just goes, it just ripples all over the world, and it's the answer.
You know, that it is amazing. And, you know, when I left Facebook, personally, I was like a little scared because, first of all, I couldn't do it anymore. Did you read my blog post?
I did. And I left Facebook too. Yay.
Well, I couldn't do it anymore because it was just, you know, my quality of life. Like today I'm doing a jigsaw puzzle.
Right.
Like I'm like doing things like reading a fiction book.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I'm on the Delayed on Denied social network talking to people, but I like have time to do other things too. It's amazing.
Right. Yes, yes.
But when I left Facebook, it was a little scary because I was like, well, is this, you know, it? Is Facebook the only reason anybody's still, you know, reading my books? And I'm like, no, the answer has been no.
Right. That is exactly right.
You know, I talked to my publisher. We were talking about the new book that I have coming out in January of what year is it, in 2022. And I said, well, you know, have you noticed since I left Facebook, is Fast, Feast, Repeat not selling as well? Is this people stop buying? She's like, no, it's selling exactly the same.
Oh, good.
I'm so glad.
Yes.
Because I felt like I was like holding it all together. But it's not me. It's not the groups. It's intermittent fasting sells itself,
yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
We're telling other people about it because it is that good. I mean, that is why I wrote the first book to start with. That's why I had my first group. Because my goal in life was to tell people about this amazing way to live.
Right. I tell myself, I wish more people would ask me. I mean, I you know, work in court and see a lot of people coming through there. And I just wish people would ask me. Sometimes I think, wow, you ought to hang, you know, get permission and hang a little banner in the bathroom or something, you know, join me on this Monday night and let's talk and just see if people would show up. I mean, I just want to get the word out there. But, you know, the few people that have asked me, you know, well, what do? Well, I intermittent fast. That means I eat basically once a day. And they just look at you like you have three heads.
Right.
You know,
the people that really don't know a lot about it, you're right.
Yeah.
If they haven't, of course, these days, more people have heard about it,
yes,
which is a good thing.
Right.
Less people think that it's really, you're more likely to run across people these days who tried it and it, quote, didn't work for them.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. And we know why. Probably
we do know why.
Work. Yeah.
And I always ask them the same question. I say, what did you drink during the fast?
Yes.
And then I tell them why. Yeah.
And I always preface with people if they say, oh, you know, what do? Well, I intermittent fast. Oh, well, what's that about? And I always preface, well, let me ask you this. What do you drink in the morning when you wake up? Because that's a big thing right there.
It
I
is.
Mean, people we know, you know, get into their habits and the thought, I don't know what was harder, me quitting smoking or quitting Diet Pepsi. Truly. I mean, I know some evenings I would think, gee, I don't have any more Diet Pepsi. So what am I going to do in the morning? And it was worse than thinking, wow, I don't have a cigarette for in the morning. What am I going to do? It was, you know, the same lines. So that's a big thing. If people can get to just water or just black coffee in the morning, the rest of it's easy.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much less hungry or hangry we feel than in earlier days.
Yes.
And just getting people to realize that and trust us.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If they
that
just,
really is.
Well, and if they realize too that every time they take a drink, you know, of something with taste, or every time they put a little morsel of food in their mouth, they're stopping that fat depletion. You know, that's the big thing right there.
Exactly. Exactly. So you don't want to risk, you know, stopping that from happening.
Right.
And you feel so much better. You know, funny note about what you were talking about with the salt, taking the little crystals of salt.
Yes.
Salt, when I have a little crystal of salt, it makes me starving.
Oh, really?
Isn't that the weirdest?
Yeah, it is weird.
I'm more of a savory girl. So I wonder if having that little stimulation of salt makes my body think I'm about to eat something delicious.
That could be.
I mean, I know salt does not, you know, quote, break the fast. But, the few times I've ever tried it, like I was refilling the salt shaker, like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And I was like, I'm just going to eat one little crystal of salt. I love salt. And then I was like starving.
Mm.
I'm like, why? Why did I do that?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes no sense, but it all is what your body is thinking is going to happen.
Right.
You know, my body was like, all right, well, here comes the food. And once I have a little bit of something, I got to like have something to eat.
Right. And that's the way I am too. Right. Once you take that first bite, then there's no stopping.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like if someone brought me like a little amuse-bouche or something, you know, one of those little, I'm like Top Chef. I don't know if I watch Top Chef.
Oh, I do watch Top Chef. I love it.
Top Chef.
I do. Too.
Yep. And I can watch that in the fastest state, no trouble. But if someone brought me a little tiny something and then I had to wait like 2 hours to eat something, then I'd be hangry.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
You would know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about John's health benefits. How about you? Have you seen any health benefits?
Yeah, I don't really have any health issues, knock wood. We come from a pretty healthy line of people, I guess. But I did have bumps on my elbow, and my dermatologist had given them a name. I can't remember now what she called them, but they had been there for years, for as long as I can remember, and they're gone. My afternoon energy is just the big thing, just not yawning, just being able to stay awake. So yeah, I didn't have any meds per se that I had to get off of. My blood pressure has always been normal. Don't have diabetes, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It is very, very unusual. I heard a statistic. I can't remember what it was, but it shocked me. Or something that someone was talking about, the you know, if you're an adult over the age of whatever, you are definitely on prescription medications. And I'm like,
no.
Yeah, no. I can remember when back in 2013, I think it was, I was overweight. I was obese. And I remember I had to have some surgery for, I had fibroids. And so I had to have surgery for those. And I went to all the pre-op appointments. And other than the fibroids, I was in really good health. But they kept asking me what medications I was taking. And I'm like, I'm not taking anything. And they just like kept being amazed by that. I mean, I'm sure I was on the way. And especially, you know, at the size that I was, I'm surprised.
Yes.
But
if more people did intermittent fasting, we could shut big pharma and big food down. I mean, I have no doubt about that. It totally is the answer to so many problems.
I honestly think even if people didn't do intermittent fasting, if they just changed what they drank.
Yes.
If we could snap our fingers and the only beverages available for everyone in the world were black coffee and water, boom, that's it. Or, okay, even have like your San Pellegrino, unflavored. If people just made that switch,
yeah,
think about the difference.
Well, and for John, like I said, in February of 19, by the time I started fasting, then in April, just by him quitting diet soda, he lost 20 pounds.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is, truly. So, and we don't know what that was, if he quit craving the sweets, as they say, you know, that the diet soda has the sweeteners in them. And so maybe he quit craving sweets, or I don't know.
I think it does a lot of things. I think it acts on our bodies in a lot of ways. One of them is, of course, we know the cephalic phase insulin response, but I think it causes just a general state of metabolic confusion because we have all this taste sensation coming in with actually no energy coming in, and then our body doesn't know what to do with this false stimuli that isn't making any sense, and it also isn't good for our gut microbiome. And so I don't think we can say, you know, here's the one thing. There's a lot of theories about what it is, but I think it's really a combination of a lot of things.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah. And then, I mean, if you look at the ingredient list of a can of diet soda, yeah. Can't be good for you to think that
I really can't.
Oh, I remember being in high school and going to the little local Magic Market, and my girlfriends are all, you know, we're getting fountain sodas, and I'm getting ready to get maybe a Dr. Pepper, and they're, oh no, why would you drink your calories? Here, get a diet soda. And that was truly my first introduction to diet soda. And it made sense in my head. Wow, why am I wasting calories on liquids?
Yeah,
I'm just going to become addicted to diet soda, and then I can save that 200 calories for whatever.
I watched my grandmother, you know, doing that, you know, all my childhood, and she always had at her fingertips a Tab.
Yes.
You remember Tab?
I do.
I can remember the taste of it because I was at her house, and that's what she had. Yep. And if I wanted to drink a soda, I got to have a Tab too.
Oh, too funny.
Yuck. Yeah. And then it was Diet Coke, and then, oh, Diet Mountain Dew.
Oh.
I drank Diet Mountain Dew for a long, long time. That one is absolutely terrible for you.
Yes.
It has, you know, brominated something or other that gives it that yellow, and it affects your iodine receptors, anything that's brominated. I remember I was having some issues with my thyroid, and this is back in, I don't know, 2006 or 7, something like that. And so I was like, oh, I wonder if this is, you know, affecting, you know, what's happening. So I stopped the Diet Mountain Dew right then. But then I started drinking Zevia. Did you ever try that?
No, I don't know what that is.
it was a diet soda made with stevia.
Oh. Well,
I thought I was doing such a good thing.
No.
Yeah, no.
Not so much.
Zero calories.
Right.
I don't even think it had caffeine. I'm not really sure why I was drinking it. I don't know.
Right.
Just to have that fizz. But honestly, if we could just spread the word about beverages. If people would change, you know, and when I was teaching, I saw the children in my class all, you know, we got to the point where we let them have beverages all day long at their desk.
Oh.
And they were supposed to have just water, but it's inside a water bottle. And they would all add those water enhancer things.
Right.
And to hear them say, oh, I don't like plain water. Right. It's gross. No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's really life changing. So you do tell people about intermittent fasting sometimes?
I do. Yes. I mean, and you can tell if somebody's receptive and they want to listen. A couple of my friends have started and they both do really well, Dawn and Kim. And I tried to tell my boss about it when I first started. She said, oh, well, you're certainly thin. What do you do? And so I told her and I've tried to explain the science to her and tell her, you ought to get Jen's book and read it. It'll just make so much sense. And she just hasn't yet.
Well, you planted the seed.
Yes, I have.
That's, you know, really the best thing we can do. We plant the seed. We move on. People, when they're ready, they'll be ready. If not,
yeah,
you know, it's the best we can do.
Yes.
So is there anything you struggle with?
Sweets, for sure. And that's just a matter of just trying to keep it out of our house.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I tell myself I deserve, oh, well, you might deserve a little scoop of ice cream tonight.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Back when I did depositions and I worked so much at my desk, I mean, I was just tied to my desk. If I wasn't out taking a deposition and it was Monday through Friday, you would find me at my desk producing transcripts. And so I would tell myself, oh, if you get, you know, 30 pages, get 30 pages done, and then you can have that piece of chocolate that's hidden in my desk. So it was kind of a reward system, I'm ashamed to say. I don't know. It's kind of strange. So
I think that's a lot of people do that. Just flashed me back to when I had a desk full of candy. I completely did.
Yeah.
I think probably most people listening to this, if you've ever had a desk, especially women, we had something shoved down in the back of it that we could.
My desk is at home. And so I didn't want John to find my stash because then he would be in my stash.
It's true.
So, right.
I mean, again, flashing back to my grandmother, she had a hidden stash of, she used to get those little mini Hershey bars with like the Mr. Good bar and the whatever and all the different varieties, the crackle, you know what I'm talking about.
Do.
She would get that variety pack and she would hide them. And she had a son. Well, he's still living. He's got Fragile X.
Oh, wow.
Which is, it's a hereditary genetic condition. Along the same lines of something like Down syndrome, but a different genetic issue.
Right.
But, you know, he lives in a group home now, but he has no off switch with food.
Mm.
So she would hide it, for, you know, from him and try to keep, but she always had, because he would just eat it. Once he found it, it was gone.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She always had it stashed in this little container or that little container. And she sure loved her candy.
Mm. That's funny.
We learned from our past, right?
That is exactly it, yeah.
Drink your diet soda, hide your candy. Candy.
Right. Oh, too funny. Yeah, I think maybe one thing I struggle with is just knowing. I mean, I'll look at the clock and think, oh, and some days, not every day, but some days I look at the clock and go, wow, it's 1 o'clock. Man, you're awful hungry. You ought to just eat, you know, and I know if I would just change my mindset and just go do something else, I would get past it. So then I think, okay, well, let's just go ahead and eat. Well, you'll just have this one little snack and then shut it down for a while until dinner. And then it just, like I said before, it just opens up the floodgate, and that just sets me up for failure then until the evening rolls around and I shut my window. So
that even happens to me sometimes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The same struggle, because eating is so much more than just whether you're hungry or
right.
not.
Yeah. Yes, you're exactly right about that.
It's something to do.
Right.
The food is there.
Right.
You know it's going to be good. And the more you think about it, you're like, well, I could go ahead and just eat it now. What's the difference? I've got some beans waiting for me.
Oh,
in the,
yeah.
I'm going to eat some. I made an Instant Pot. I don't have an Instant Pot, but I have like a different one. But mm-hmm. I made some black beans yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to eat them to open my window. That's going to be my snack.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one thing I started making John do, just because I got burned out on figuring out. I don't mind cooking at home and enjoy cooking, but I would make him every other day decide what we're having. And that certainly helps. So if he can have input on that, then that helps, you know, him get what he wants too. And then it helps my frustration having to figure
that
out.
That is helpful. Instead of you having to be the one to always think about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because back in the day when I had to figure out what I was going to eat every day, it was really hard. No. I'm still not good at it. Like I said, when something would happen to my meal delivery, I'm like, I don't know what we're having. And Chad just always goes straight to pizza.
Right.
Like when I go out of town and he doesn't come with me.
He's eating pizza.
He's eating pizza. Yeah, yeah. I've tried to like have things ready for him. He doesn't eat those things.
Right.
I come back, they're still in the fridge, and there's the pizza box.
Right.
I'm like, okay, why fight?
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
But it is nice to cook a nice meal for you and for your husband. And
And I don't do any exercising, just to let everybody know. We have a dog, and so I walk her every morning about, a mile and a half, 2 miles. And
that counts.
It does. It certainly
does.
That's
exercise.
Yeah, it's good for both the dog and myself. So, you know, I can always count on that. And of course, on Thursdays, I'm listening to your podcast. And on Wednesday, I guess I do the
life lessons.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Life lessons with Sherry Bullock.
Yes.
I'm really enjoying doing that podcast. I'm loving this one, too. I will never stop loving this one because now that I work from home, I don't see people. This is how I get to see people and socialize.
Right. Right. And I got off of Facebook myself also just because, oh, my gosh, I just had to. It's all consuming. It truly is.
It was all consuming.
Yeah.
And you just, for me, it got to the point where I never got to see I didn't even know what my friends and family were doing. It was only the Facebook groups for me. And it actually got to the point where I didn't feel like I was able to give good support because I was just doing management stuff.
Yes.
Instead, my whole entire day was spent approving posts, managing comments, looking at reported things, approving members, working with the moderators, and less of the, I just want to directly interact with people.
Right. I applaud you for doing what you did. I know it
was
hard.
Well, thank you. And you know, we're still getting pushback. I'm not on the group anymore. We still have the main Delay Don't Deny group that is run by the moderators. And just today, a couple of the moderators, there were some, you know, negative comments about Jen leaving Facebook. And they told me, and I'm like, stop telling me.
Right. Yeah.
Stop. You know, because I just, you know, my mental health is so much stronger now.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
You know, the thing about Facebook, I would like, you know, well, I redid my office here. And so it was like an arts and craft group. And I put a picture up of this little wall collage I did. And I said, oh, a friend of mine taught me this. You know, if you're going to do this, if you follow the shape of a little E, it just makes your eye catch so much easier and it just flows so much better. And so I had a few good comments. And then this one woman said, oh, too clutter. No, not for me. And it just hurt my feelings so bad.
Yeah.
So I deleted the whole thing. I'll show you.
Oh, I just wanted to share my collage. Right. And we don't think we don't think about what we're saying because it feels like you could just say whatever you want.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is hurtful. And then you're just like, never mind. I liked it.
Yeah.
She wouldn't come to your house and say that to you.
No, she wouldn't. She wouldn't.
It's like, with the food on Facebook. I can remember the Facebook groups, people criticizing other people's food choices. I'm like, do you walk up to people at a restaurant and say, why are you eating that? If so, you should probably stop doing that too. But we don't do that. But on the Facebook groups, people thought it was okay to say whatever you want. And you see that on Instagram as well. Luckily, I've never been quite so hooked in.
Yeah, I don't even know how
Instagram.
To. I have a an Insta account, as the kids say, but I don't really know how to run it. So I don't.
It doesn't really appeal to me. I don't know why. Like Pinterest either. Do you do Pinterest?
I do Pinterest, yeah.
I never got Pinterest. My sister was always, she never did Facebook, never joined Facebook. Wow. But yeah. She's big on Pinterest. And I'm like, you can just like Google stuff. Why don't you just do that? Like when early days, I was trying to find like crock pot recipes or something. It's a lot. I mean, years ago when Pinterest was new, and I'm like, I'm going to go to Pinterest and start a board for crock pot recipes. And so I'm like searching Pinterest. I'm like, this is just Googling.
Right. It
why
is.
Am I? What? No. I'm like, I don't have time for this nonsense.
You're exactly
sorry.
Right.
So I would like to apologize to everyone who loves Pinterest, because right. I know, I mean, not everything is for everybody.
Right.
Clearly.
That's true. That is true.
And that is okay.
Yes, ma'am.
It's fun. But then I can remember for a while, I used to get notifications from Pinterest, like when people would start following me. I mean, again, this was like probably 10 years ago or something. And I'd be like, oh, I feel so sorry for those people who are following me on Pinterest.
<That's right. laughs>
This is before I had written any books. I was just a person, right?
Right.
But like a friend from college would be following me on Pinterest or whatever it is they do. And I'm like, I felt the pressure even then,
yes.
But I still didn't do it. So I probably have a Pinterest board of some sort
somewhere
out there. But I should probably go look for it. I don't even know if I could log in.
Right.
Again, though, I know people love it. And so it's a good thing out there. So,
yeah.
Oh, good time. So you're enjoying yourself off of Facebook. Did you leave after I left or before?
Well, probably before. And then I got back on for a little while and then I got back off again. So, yeah, about the same time you quit for good is about the time I got off of there. I'll get on my husband's account every once in a while just to kind of see what's happening with the extended family, see if anything new's popped up. But all of his stuff is about fishing. And so his scroll is really, really, really boring.
Isn't it funny how they're different?
Yeah.
And Chad didn't understand that really, and I still don't think he does, but he would be looking at his Facebook and I'd be looking at mine, you know, back when I was still looking at Facebook, and he would say, did you see that cat video? And I'm like, no, I don't see this. I don't get the cat
right.
videos. I got everything there was about fasting.
Right.
And on Instagram, I'm sure someone's getting cat videos on Instagram. I should be for all the cats
right.
I post, but I get like all the diet stuff.
That's funny.
I'm going to start trying to get more cat stuff on Instagram.
There
That's,
you go.
I don't know. I get yoga. That
really?
I don't know why I get yoga on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, I literally have only done yoga like one time and it made me feel queasy. I don't like to be upside down apparently.
Right.
But I was interviewed by somebody who does yoga.
Oh, really?
On Instagram Live one time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So maybe that's why.
Maybe.
They like permanently connected me with, mm-hmm. oh, she's big into yoga.
Yes, that could be. I used to do yoga with my Wii. I had a Wii with a balance board and
yeah,
it had
I
yoga.
Had
it was pretty neat. Yeah.
I like Pilates. I can do Pilates,
yeah.
But yoga, mm-mm.
Yeah.
I might get back into Pilates now that I have more time.
There you go.
Maybe I'll rejoin the Y and go to Pilates.
There you go.
Yeah, I was really enjoying it, but I didn't have time to take, because, you know, you'd have to get up and go and then come back and take a shower. It would take hours of the day. But now,
right.
Maybe I can do that again. I'll start Pilates just for the social aspect of it.
Uh-huh.
Well, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Oh, I would tell people to just do it. You've got to give it at least 30 days. You can't give up on it. To fast clean, I mean, we know that. That's the most important part, to just jump right in. If you only make it to 1 o'clock that day, you at least made it to 1 o'clock that day. So every minute that you can go without eating, you know, it's just that much more to help you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not to beat yourself up when it's hard in the beginning.
Right. Right. And don't be afraid of it. There's nothing to be afraid of. I mean, if you think, oh my gosh, I'm not going to survive, you know, I need to eat, then eat. But I promise, if you clean fast and you get that strong hunger pang, if you just push through it, you'll get to the other side of it and you'll think, wow, that was no big deal. And you'll make it to dinner time. So, and you know, and if you're a morning person and enjoy breakfast, then just, I could never do it that way, but just flip it, you know, try it. Yeah. Make breakfast your meal. Yeah.
You know, I want people to feel free to experiment with the different times.
Yes.
Just because you and I have the same pattern that feels right to us right now.
Right. Yep.
You know, I've shifted a slightly earlier now that I'm working from home than when I was working outside the home and didn't get home till, you know, 4:30.
Right.
But just because that's the time that feels good to us, that doesn't mean it's the perfect time or the best time or the way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
You got to feel what feels like a lifestyle to you. Well, Lynn, it has been fabulous to meet you after hearing your name on the podcast.
All right.
I love that. Yeah. And I love that we are one by one spreading the message to people who want to hear it.
Yeah. They have to want to
hear it. That's what it's all about.
But once they're ready to hear it and the science, just check into the science. It all makes so much sense.
It does. And, you know, even without the science, your body feeling so much better is the truth of it, right?
Absolutely.
I don't need a study to tell me how great I feel.
Right. Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jen.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.